that were giving a party or taking us out to eat because we did so well. And I asked the doctor, he said, okay, you can go, but no alcohol, which was no problem. So I went to that place, and it was a fish camp up here in Rockville or somewhere. And there was just a couple of people brown bagging. And just, you know, the mischief got on me. I asked him if I could have their empty bottle.
Yeah.
So I took them and went to the hospital, and he said, you better not do what I think you're going to do. I said, oh, I'm going to have some fun. And so the elevator door, and I come staggering out of that elevator, singing at the top of my voice. And those nurses, I mean, Latin must have been their first language. They started fussing and growling, and they just ranting and raving. And I let and I'm trying. I said, "Oh, it'll be okay. Give me a good." And all they just wanted to beat me. And then I started laughing. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And if I thought they were mad before, they're evil.
You enjoy life. That's all.
Yeah.
Anything else, Jim?
Lindy has a niece living in Germany.
Okay.
And she's not affected as much by that flooding as the northern part.
Yeah.
She said there's about 1,300 people that are unaccounted for.
Wow.
Several hundred already known dead. She showed a video of them walking in waist-deep water trying to rescue some ponies.
Yeah.
And she said that the government is not doing a thing to assist people in what's going on. They're going to relocate everybody that survives to a more metropolitan area so they won't be having to, you know, go through this again. And they said if they want to rebuild, if the people that lost their house want to rebuild, they're going to have to vote for the green,
yeah,
or they won't get a dime.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. Anyone else? Judy.
I have a family in the ministry. The white is they've been here for Bill and his daddy and his kidney. They removed it, but it would be 3 weeks because of the situation there where they know what's going on with it.
Okay.
But he's had some other health problems.
All right.
His name's George.
George, okay. Jimmy, you all set?
All set.
Okay, anyone else? Yes.
This lady out on visitation, missing. Her husband's lost, and she's been trying. She went to a non-denominational church down in Rockville, and tried to even go to church down there. Where there with his friends, and he drinks alcohol, and he won't go.
Yeah.
So she's coming back to her home church. But anyway, pray for Misty and her husband Mike for salvation. And she also asked him if you may remember a Carrie Hosley. Severe stroke.
40-some
years old, she has severe stroke.
Okay. If you would, remember my brother, my older brother. Yeah, there are people older than me. Not many, but there are. And he's having his bladder, I guess it's taken out. He's the one that's had a number of cancers. And he posted something on social media, and it went through a couple of things, and at the end it said about the Lord Jesus Christ being his Savior. So, I don't know. He's been, for years, since his 70s, when I got saved, he's always mocked my position. But who knows? You know, somebody may have gotten to him and witnessed to him, and hopefully he did get saved, or he will get saved. All right. If that's it, Danny, pray for us, please.
Father, we come to you with the petitions of your children, Father, to rest on our hearts and our souls and just burden us, Father. So we turn that burden over to you, Father, so you can handle it as the way that you see fit. Father, we can't thank you enough for the blessings we enjoyed this week. Because being able to come to church today and looking forward to learning more from your word, gleaning from that word, looking for those nuggets of truth and uplift you, Father. Help establish us and keep us strong in the faith, Father. We just, sometimes it's so overwhelming, Father, that we forget to cast all of our cares and concerns on you, Father. But we know you're the great God, Father, that can take care of all of our problems and usher us into a place of understand, let's say they know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. So, Father, we just thank you for bringing these people to us and informing us about their ministry, Father, and helping us to see and more care about people that are truly needful of things. Father, we just ask it will be in your perfect will. And all things, Father, we just ask that you be lifted up and magnified. For in Jesus' name we do ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Brother, come ahead.
Thank you, my friend. All right. Well, as he mentioned, we are from Lone Star Baptist College, and that's in Mesquite, Texas. It's a suburb kind of Dallas. It's its own city, but we can see the Dallas skyline right from our the road in front of our church there. And so just outside of that, and our college, we have students from 23 different states now that God has sent to us, and so we're excited about it growing. And it looks like maybe our largest incoming freshman class that we've ever had, and so we're excited about that as well. But we'll tell you a little bit more about that in the main service here. But Brother Joe asked me to bring a lesson this morning for Sunday school, and so I want to do that. Get your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 61, if you would. Isaiah 61, and I'll just read one verse here kind of as a launch point and give you some practical things that hopefully you'll be able to use in your daily life. Isaiah chapter 61. Okay, let's look down at verse number 3, and then I'll pull one phrase out of here in just a moment. It says in verse number 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I want to look at that one little phrase right there. It says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, a garment is something that you choose, that you specifically chose to put on. Today you chose to wear what you wore today, or your wife chose it for you, or however you got dressed, and you chose to put that on. And usually that garment is specific for what you're going to do. I doubt that you mow the lawn in that suit. Probably got a different suit for that. You probably don't work on the car in what you wore today. You put this on because you were going to church, so you put your church clothes on. If I'm going to work outside, I've got I've got two pair of jeans that are my painting jeans. They're already ruined with paint. And so why ruin a bunch more, right? And so I just save those. Anytime I know I'm going to do some painting, I put those jeans on, because if some paint gets on them, it just blends in with all the rest of the paint that's already on them. And so it's specific to that purpose. And God here says, now I want you to choose the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So when you get into a position in your life that you have a spirit of or an attitude of heaviness, God says the garment that you put on for that occasion is the garment of praise. Now, the spirit of heaviness, that's something that sometimes you'll find in yourself. Have you ever just felt weighed down with life? It wasn't that necessarily a tragedy came, though that certainly could produce the spirit of heaviness, but just life in general was weighing on you. Maybe the burdens that you were going through, maybe an upcoming surgery like you're going to have, maybe a daughter or a son that's going through struggle, or extra bills that have piled on you, or you're physically just not feeling well, and you get that spirit of heaviness. God says when that comes, the solution, what he's designed for us to do, is put on the garment of praise. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning and encourage us to use this garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Take your Bible now, go to Psalm 42, if you would. Psalm 42. And we'll look at David here talking about a spirit of heaviness he found in himself at one point. Psalm 42 and verse number 5. David writes this, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." So here he is, he's saying, I don't even know what the problem is. Now, usually this is more common with ladies than men. Usually if we're weighed down, we know why. Ladies, they can just cry and they're not even sure why yet. They'll figure it out later. But they've got that spirit of heaviness that's on them. And here he says, I'm not even sure what all is causing it. I just know I'm not up today. I'm not feeling on top side today. I have this spirit of heaviness. And he's saying, why am I cast down? Why am I disquieted? But he knew what the answer is. He said, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance. And so many times when you read in the book of Psalms, you'll see that David starts out a psalm and, boy, he's depressed. Man, he's worried about his enemies that are coming against him, and he's upset about different things that are going on in the kingdom around him or even within himself. But by the end of the chapter, he's in a good mood. Well, what happens between the first part of the chapter and the end part of the chapter? Usually praise. Somewhere in there, something clicks and he starts praising God for what God has done and what God is doing and what God is going to do. And it changes his whole spirit. His whole countenance is changed because he chooses to put on the spirit of, or the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, I want to give you a couple ideas here about if you, I know this will probably never happen to you, but if you ever have a bad day, if you ever feel down, if you ever feel discouraged, if you're ever just not on top side, you're having a spirit of heaviness. And God says, I want you to choose to go to the closet, open up your closet. You're not looking for paint pants. You're not looking for your Sunday suit. You're looking for the garment of praise. And choose to put that on. Now, that's a decision. That's a choice that you make. That's, I'm going to decide to purposely put on this garment of praise. Why? Because I've got a spirit of heaviness. And you'll be shocked at what it'll do. So some things you can do to put on the garment of praise for your spirit of heaviness. Number one, count your blessings. Now, every one of us have blessings. The Bible says that God daily loadeth us with benefits. But do you know how we are? And I'm just telling you, human beings, you know how we are? We don't focus on the good. We usually focus on the bad, right? If you watch the news, how much of it's good? Do they tell you how many people made it home safely or how many people wrecked? They tell you how many people are still alive and well or how many people got killed. They tell you how many people didn't get corona or how many people did get corona. I mean, all of the focus on the news is negative. Why? Because they know that that's how we are in our nature. Try it today. Walk up to somebody and say, hi, how you doing today? They won't tell you all the good parts. Boy, well, my hand's working really good. And this elbow over here, boy, it just feels like it's doing great. And this one toe on this side, man, it has never been better. They won't tell you. They'll say, well, this knee over here, now it's stiff today. And boy, I can feel it in my shoulder. Why? Because that's what we focus on. Have you ever been driving down the road and you hear a noise, a rattle, or a squeak in your car driving you nuts? I don't know if you're like that, but man, I got to find out what it is and stop it, especially if you got a long trip. Now, do you know how many parts on that car are working properly? But that's not what you're focused on. You're focused on that one thing that's rattling or that one thing that's squeaking. But it's just not about a car. It's just not about our body. Sometimes we're that way in life. There's a lot of good things that God has given to us. But you know what we focus on? Those couple of struggles. Well, what does it do? It increases the spirit of heaviness. So God says, no, count your blessings. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, behold, I have found this, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. So I can promise if you would take the time and you would put your focus on the good things that are going on in your life today and you'd start making a list of them and you'd start counting your blessings and thanking God for all the good things that are going, hey, it would help lift the spirit of heaviness. It's you putting on the garment of praise. If you'll just start the day off praising God for all the good things happening in your life. Now, don't be categorical. Don't say, God, thank you for all the good stuff. That won't have the same effect. But just look around your house. God, thank you. I got a chair to sit in. Man, I would hate to stand the whole time, wouldn't you? I can come home after a long day of work and I'm tired. I got a place to sit down. Maybe it's even a recliner. Amen. I can even put my feet up and I can lean back a little bit and I can be comfortable. God, I am sure glad I've got a recliner. Well, Brother Bob, that seems kind of ridiculous. Well, I can tell you this. There's a whole lot of people in the world that don't have a recliner. I've got to travel a little bit over my years and been in some third world countries. And I've walked into houses and they don't have any furniture. Matter of fact, they don't have a floor. It's just dirt. Their walls don't even go all the way to the ceiling. They go up about 8 feet and then there's a gap so the air can get in through because they don't have air conditioning. And there's a lady over in the corner that's dug a hole in the dirt and she's got wood in there and she's got a fire and she's making supper on an open fire in her house. See what I'm talking about? But we're, man, boy, that stove I've got, I need to get a new burner because that one of the four doesn't work really good. You know how many people would be glad for three good burners? Boy, my recliner, boy, it's starting to get worn out. You know how many people love to have one piece of furniture? And so if you'll spend time counting our blessings, boy, Brother Bob, I feel the spirit of heaviness on me today. God says, go to your closet. Get out the garment of praise and start praising me for all the blessings I have sent your way. Go open your cupboard. Instead of looking at the empty spots, look at the cans you got. Go to your stove, and instead of saying, boy, I wish I had more of such and such, be thankful you got something in there. Go through your house, go through your life. It's beyond just what you can physically touch, by the way. Are you saved?
Amen.
Are you going to heaven? Do you have to spend any time, even one second, in hell? Hey, I think you got something to be thankful for. The mercies of God are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. Are you walking today? Are you upright? Are you above ground? You got a lot to be thankful for. But we, by nature, we focus on the things we don't have. We focus on the problems. We focus on the struggles. And that's why we get the spirit of heaviness. So God says, I can't tell you you'll never have the spirit of heaviness. But David said, one morning I woke up and I thought, man, why am I so down today? What is my problem? And he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to hope in God and I'm going to praise Him. And it's going to help my countenance. It'll turn my frown upside down. I'll start smiling because I realize, you know what? I don't have it as bad as I thought I did. I've got it pretty good. Every year, we used to take our seniors that graduated from high school to New York City. Now, again, a bunch of them, when I lived up in Indiana, they'd never been to a big town. I'm talking about a big city town. And so it was kind of eye-opening for them. And they got to see the big buildings, and they got to see the busyness and the 5,000, taxi cabs on the street, and they'd never seen anything like that. But another thing I wanted to see is the homelessness. I want them to see the people in cardboard boxes. And I want them to see the people that lived on the street and the people that were sleeping in the alleys. About every 3 years, I'd take our youth group on a missions trip. And we'd take them down to Mexico or we'd take them to some place and they'd see 11 people living in something the size of their bedroom. You know what it always did? It always made them come back more thankful for what they had. Because they saw, instead of what the few things, I can't believe my mom and dad don't let me have a large screen TV in my own bedroom. Well, there's whole families of 10 and 15 people that don't have any bedrooms. They're all just piled into one room and they just sleep on mats on the floor, on the ground. You see, God has been very good to us. And our spirit of heaviness could be fixed in a big hurry if we would decide to count our blessings and praise God for what He's already given to us. Boy, you wouldn't have to wear that coat very long, and you'd be happy again. It would fix your spirit of heaviness. So that's one thing. In your spirit of heaviness, count your blessings. Here's another one. Start your prayer with praise and continue it throughout the day. Now, prayer is the time that we get to talk to God. And didn't God tell us to bring all of our burdens to Him, cast all our care on the Lord, for He careth for us? Yeah. Didn't He say, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need? Sure. Didn't David even said, I poured out my complaint to the Lord and He heard me and brought me out of my distress? Sure. But don't make your prayer only a want-to list in a complain time. Start your prayer. Now, listen to what the Bible says here in Psalm 100, verse number 4. Enter, Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Now, you know what that tells me? What God is hoping for is the first thing out of my mouth when I enter into His gates is not whining. Is not, God, now let me give you my list of things I want. Now, He doesn't mind me getting to that, but isn't it good when your children were thankful? You remember that? Those two times? Remember both of those times? On Christmas, when they opened up the gifts, you didn't want to hear, well, that's not the color I wanted. Man, you'd sacrificed and you worked hard for it and you'd wrapped it and put it under the tree. You didn't want to hear them gripe and complain. You didn't want to hear them look at all their gifts and talk about the three they didn't get. You would have thought, what a spoiled brat. What did I do raising this kid? It'd be nice to hear, thank you. Boy, I appreciate that. Now, if later on down the road there's something else that they're wanting, we'll get to that because as a daddy, I want to meet the needs of my kid. But I'd like to hear some praise and thanksgiving for all I've done. Well, I can tell you this, our Heavenly Father's done a whole lot more for us than we've ever done for our earthly children. And therefore, I think it's kind of a spoiled brat mentality to only show up to God to tell Him your wants and your whines and never come with any praise and thanksgiving. No wonder we have such a spirit of heaviness. We're focused on what we don't have yet and what we don't like about what's going on in life instead of the goodness of God. So it starts out with count your blessings. Name them one by one. Not just made a list, but praise God for them. We're putting on the spirit of the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I promise you, it'll change your attitude in a hurry. When you start going through all the good things God has already done for you, and you say it out loud to God, God, thank you for this, and thank you for my family. Thank you. Thank you. One of the things every morning I thank the Lord for, I start out with praise and thanksgiving in my prayer time. God, thank you. I own my own Bible. A whole thing. You understand that there's millions and millions, yea, over a billion people in the world that don't have one page of a Bible in their own language. And we got three or four of these laying around the house.
Oh, yeah.
That's something to be thankful for. I'm not real thrilled about the direction our country's going in, but I still believe America is the best place on the face of the earth to live. And those that don't, I'd offer for them to move away. If you think communism and socialism is so great, go. Go move to Cuba. See how it goes for you.
Amen.
If you don't like democracy, you don't have to live here. Nobody's chaining you in. You can leave. There's a reason they're still sticking around. Because the truth of the matter is America still is the best place to live. Well, don't you think you could have been born somewhere else? God allowed you to live here and God allowed you to enjoy the blessings here. You ought to thank God for that. Every morning I thank God for my family. Both the family I was born into, the heritage that I have, and the family God has given to me, a wife and sons and my daughter-in-law. I thank God for that. Don't take those things for granted. Don't overlook those things. Come before God with praise and thanksgiving. So count your blessings. Start your prayer time with praise and thanksgiving. Number three, focus on the positives. Focus on the positives. Write this reference down. Philippians 4:8. You know it. But write it down next to that point. Focus on the positives. Now, the truth of the matter is there are negatives in life. If you don't believe that, you're fooling yourself, right? There are negatives. They're going to happen to everybody's life. The Bible says, as the sparks fly upward, so is man born to trouble. It's just coming. You can bank on it. When something bad happens to you, I can't believe something bad happened to me. This is, why is it shocking you? The trials come as though some strange thing happened unto you. We get that pity party mentality. I can't believe I'm going through it. Everybody's going through it. Right? Oh, nobody's ever had it as bad as me. No, everybody's got it bad. Just because they came into church and painted a smile on their face doesn't mean they don't have a burden.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they're not physically having some kind of struggle. Financially, from time to time, have a struggle. In their family, have a struggle. Everybody goes through trouble. But God didn't say there won't be trouble. But He does tell us to focus on the positive. Listen to it from Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren. Now, this is Paul talking to saved people. That's what he's talking about, brethren. Finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, the truth of the matter is, if we could somehow connect your brain up to a graph and stick it on the wall, how much of your week were you focused on positive things compared to negative things? What would that pie chart look like?
Yeah.
Now, are there positive things? Yeah. And God says you would do yourself a great favor if you would focus on, you would think about, purposely concentrate on the good things. Now, that doesn't mean if your house is burning down, don't say, well, praise the Lord, it didn't happen last week. You can just sit there and watch it burn down. But the majority of the time, we're focused on negative. We're focused on the bad. Sometimes the only time parents talk to their children is when the kids are in trouble. They never tell them if they're doing something right. Sometimes spouses, we only communicate when there's trouble. We never focus on the positive. Church members, we get together and talk about the problems, not about the good things. Yeah, so-and-so wasn't here again. How about those that were here? So-and-so didn't shake my hand. How about those that did shake your hand? Boy, that last point the preacher had, I just didn't catch that at all. How about the first 3 points? Well, I saw that bulletin. Did you see that misspelled word in there? How about all the words that were spelled right? We've got to learn to change our thinking, because a spirit of heaviness will start to come on you and you'll see negative in everything. Everywhere you go, you'll see the negative. I've done a lot of construction work and building over the years, and I've got to be careful, because when I walk into buildings, I like looking for ideas. I like those old shows, that this old house and all those shows about, you know, even the new ones about how they flip houses and change. I like looking for ideas and seeing the improvements that they make. But boy, I can walk into a place and say, oh, that's crooked. Oh, that's not square over there. Boy, they missed that one spot there when they were painting. Boy, my eye just goes to those things because I've done that kind of work for so long. But do you know what? Before long, that goes beyond just a physical building, and we start doing that with people. And we start doing that with situations. And we focus on the negative. Well, guess what? Before long, it's just not a day or a hour or a moment. It becomes our lifestyle. We carry around a spirit of heaviness all the time. Not because there's nothing good happening. We just don't focus on it. So count your blessings. Start off your prayer with praise and thanksgiving. And then focus on the positives. There are positives that happen, but we've got to retrain. Focus our attention on what sort of things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, full of virtue, and full of praise. Think on those things. Change your pie chart this week. Less negative thinking, more positive thinking. Well, there's nothing positive for me to think about. Okay, then you just proved you got a spirit of heaviness. Because there is positive out there. We just don't think on it. Number next. Use praising God to repel the negative crowd. Now, I'll tell you another thing that will cause you to have a spirit of heaviness is being around negative people. Right? And when you have them constantly in your ear feeding you negative things, well, that's why you've got a spirit of heaviness. Well, Brother Bachman, what should I do? Shove them out of my way? Tell them, leave me alone? Cuss them out? No, that's probably not the best idea. I've even had people that say, well, I know that so-and-so's negative, but I don't want to unfriend them on Facebook. But they continue to take in that negativity. They're constantly reading it online and on all their social media posts, and they're taking in all that negative. Well, guess what? Then it's going to turn you into negative. You'll have a spirit of heaviness. Well, instead of having to be the mean ogre and say, you know what? You're a negative person. Leave me alone. I don't like you because you're constantly being negative. Well, you can fix that. There's a verse in the Bible that says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. There's a verse in the Bible that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And do you know what? A negative person doesn't want to be around a positive person. They won't mesh together well. It's like two opposite ends of the magnet. They're just not going to go together. And so what you've got to do is decide, oh, here comes negative Nancy again. Oh, here comes negative Ned again. He's going to fill my ear with negativity. Here's the way you fix it. As soon as they walk up, just start praising God for all the goodness of God in your life. And if they try to feed you something negative, you just turn it around and feed them back with something positive. You know what? They'll walk away. You won't have to separate from them. They'll separate from you. That person posts something negative on the, you know, on the internet. You post back something positive. I had a pastor in Memphis, Tennessee for about 10 years, and I had a man in our church, an older man, and he said, now, Brother Bachman, the only reason I'm on Facebook is to praise the Lord. I didn't know if that was true or not, but sure enough, every time somebody would get on there and they'd say something negative, he would fill up the page with all the positives he could think of. You know what? People started unfriending him. Well, I can tell you the kind of people that are unfriending somebody that's positive is negative people. He didn't have to get rid of anybody. He just made sure he separated from the negative crowd by being positive. If they got on there and they said something about they didn't like my message, he'd get on there, boy, we've got the greatest church in all the world. Boy, I sure am thankful that we run buses around town and pick up little boys and girls for church. And I sure am thankful that our church is concerned about souls and goes out soul winning. I'm thankful that our pastor tells us the truth from the Word of God. And he just go on and on and on. People, they didn't want anything to do with that. He helped with making sure he didn't get a spirit of heaviness by repelling the wrong crowd with positive things, praising the Lord. You know what he decided? I'm going to put on the garment of praise. Now, it'd be nice if there was a magic pill that you could erase everybody's negativity, but you can't. If they're going to be negative, they're going to be negative. There's not much you can do about it. But you can protect yourself from also becoming negative by doing what God said. I'm going to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Because you know what? When you put on that garment of praise, not only does it help you, but others see your garment. And that's going to change some things for them as well. All right, so we said four things about the spirit of heaviness for yourself. Count your blessings. Start your prayer time with praise and thanksgiving. Focus on the positive things of life and use praising God to repel the negative crowd from you. So if I have the spirit of heaviness, I put on the garment of praise, and God says that's going to change my attitude. Point number two, we only got 9 minutes to get this one in. The spirit of heaviness in others. Sometimes it's not your own spirit of heaviness, it's other people's spirit of heaviness. Have you ever gone to work and there was a spirit of heaviness? Have you ever gone to maybe a family reunion and you could, like they say, cut the air with a knife? What is that? Spirit of heaviness. Have you ever in your home, that silence comes, that awkward silence, because why? There's that spirit of heaviness. In a school classroom, in a church, no matter where you go, if you sense the spirit of heaviness not only in you but around you, guess what? The same thing will fix it. The garment of praise. Just like somebody can frown and cause other people to frown, somebody can smile and cause other people to smile. If somebody's negative, that can bring a spirit of heaviness. You can put on the garment of praise and change the atmosphere in the room by you using this garment of praise. Here's a couple things real quickly I'll throw to you. I won't have time to elaborate on them. Praise character more than talent. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 13. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You ought to try this sometime. Maybe you're teaching a class, or maybe you're in a room, or maybe you're at a workplace, and maybe you're a foreman or supervisor. Instead of only getting on the people that are doing wrong, instead, praise the people that are doing it right. I remember I was working a secular job, and we had a boss that had a Monday morning meeting. Everybody had to go to the Monday morning meeting. Now, it was already Monday morning. You already were discouraged about that, right? And to have to go to a Monday morning meeting, you thought, oh, man, here we go, another week of work. But this boss, every Monday, he started out the meeting by praising people that had done a great job last week. He's handing out gift cards to people. And, man, I appreciate so-and-so. Boy, they did such-and-such, and they did the best at such-and-such. You know what? It changed the whole atmosphere. Everybody came dragging into Monday. And he'd get in that meeting, and it was like a pep rally. This was a business, but we'd leave out there. We were excited. We didn't even know why. We're just excited. We're all charged up. But because he praised those that did right, first of all, those that did right didn't feel discouraged. Nobody ever notices how hard I work. No, he did. And he awarded it. But also those that didn't do as well, instead of the whole meeting getting on to those that didn't do right, he praised those that did do right. And that made those that didn't get the gift card, and those that didn't get the round of applause, and those that didn't get the words of admiration say, oh, I want in on that. And they'd work harder this week. Now, God says in every aspect of leadership, whether it be government or in a school situation, in a home situation, part of the job of the leader, according to this, he says, is to praise those that do well. We're good at getting on those that do wrong. But God says if you really want to turn this thing around, they shall have praise of the same. If they do good, they ought to hear from you. That's a good thing to do. It'll lift the spirit of heaviness. You don't want to be the black hat guy all the time, right? And so find a way. Well, but I got to be. I got to correct those. Okay, but sometimes you can turn around the correction by praising those that do good instead of only getting on the case of those that didn't do good. Because here's what happens. Then everybody else, the spirit of heaviness comes on them, right? One kid in your classroom misbehaves and you yell at the whole class. Well, now there's a spirit of heaviness to everybody. One employee is an idiot and the boss yells at everybody and now there's a spirit of heaviness on everybody. Instead, correct that one person. If it was only one, correct them privately and praise those that do well. You'll get what you advertise. And if you'll make that the positive thing, people will respond to that and it lifts the spirit of heaviness. So praise character in people more than just talent. Number two, praise just as much as you punish. I've alluded to this already a little bit, but another reference to write down is 1 Peter chapter 2. If you read through that, it talks about this same aspect of government, and it says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors or unto them that are sent by them. Now listen, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. God says his design, how he laid out for leadership to happen, even in government, was punishment of evildoers and praise of them that do well. When's the last time the police pulled you over for going the speed limit? They don't do that, right? When's the last time they came and banged on your house in the middle of the night and said, you guys are being quiet, I sure appreciate that. You see, we get the punishment of evildoers part, but we don't do much about the praise of them that do well part. We ought to have that balance. Just don't be the ogre that always gets on people. Also be the person that praises people when they do well. That'll keep your spirit good. It'll help keep their spirit of good. The punishment of evildoers and the praise of them that do well. I'll just give you these other two. You will have to elaborate on them some other time. Praise both in word and in deed. Just don't be that flattering lips the Bible talks about. Do something. The Bible says a man's gift maketh room for him. That doesn't always have to be public. It can be private as well. But I'll tell you what, if you write a note to somebody and give it to them, that'll go a long ways. A positive note. Send a positive text. Make a positive phone call. Stop somebody and shake their hand and say, boy, I sure appreciate such and such about you. If you will learn to equal out the praise and the punishment, it'll change your spirit. It'll change their spirit. But praise both in word and in deed. They're looking for some recognition, both verbally and also sometimes do something for that person. Last one, and I kind of alluded to this, praise both privately and publicly. There are some people, they don't want attention. There are some people that want the public praise on the and pat on the back. And even for those that say, oh, no, you don't need to mention my name. Do you know what? Down inside, they're at least glad that you recognize that they did something right. How do I know that? Because the Bible says we're made in the image of God, and he loves praise. You know what kind of praise he likes? Private praise and public praise, right? He wants us to tell others about how good he is, but he also wants us to come to him by ourselves and say, God, I just want to show up. I don't even have a list today of things I want or need or complaining about. I just want to show up and tell you, I sure am thankful you're so good to me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for all the things that you do for me. And you get done with all the goodness of God and you turn around and walk away and he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. That's it? That's all you got? You don't want anything? Because we've done what he likes. That private praise and that public praise. Well, guess what? We need to do that same thing. Sometimes you have to be a little ingenuitive. You got to dig hard to find something to praise somebody about. Maybe it's progress. Maybe they're not there yet, but they've made progress. You could praise that. And when you do that, the Bible says the simple are going to hear it. And they're going to make a change in their spirit, their attitude, because they also would like to get in on some of that praise. The garment of praise. It's a choice. You can choose what garment to put on today. Choose when you have a spirit of heaviness in yourself or in others. to go to God's closet, open up the door, pull out the garment of praise and put it on, and watch what happens to your spirit and their spirit when you use God's solution. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us a book that is the answers to what we need. And God, whether it be in our own heart or in the hearts of those around us, when we see or sense the spirit of heaviness, God, help us to put on the garment of praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All rights are dismissed. We'll start up here at 11 o'clock.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate
that.
Thank you,
Joe. Thank you. Just talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
This guy right here, you're familiar with Beam Scholar.
Mm-hmm. I am.
This guy was Brother Brett had gone over to pass out Bibles. And this guy come up to him, and he said he wanted a whole Bible, you know, Bible in his language. And Brother Brett was talking back and forth. The guy mentioned he was a preacher. And so Brother Brett was walking along, and he said,
"Bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord."
He said, "You're a preacher. What are you preaching out of?" And he had a, you know, the old butcher paper,
mm-hmm.
you know, that he took out of that butcher paper and has a string right there. It had three pages of a Bible that somebody had torn out and given to him, and that's what he's leading his village with.
Wow.
And it took a Brother Fred to give him.
Brother Fred has the stories, buddy. I tell you, I've spent some time with him, and he'll tell about guys that rode 3 days on a bike.